Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Four Tims and a Podcast. This week we will be discussing the League Cup victory. Just before we get started, I want to thank our sponsors, Football Prizes, for their continued support of our podcast, and tell you a bit about their Celtic prize this week. It is a fantastic 22-23 signed Celtic home shirt signed by the League Cup winners themselves. There's also a number of instant win prizes that you could win straight away, including a squad signed poster, and there's loads of site credit up for grabs as well. This competition will end this Monday at 7:30, so make sure that you get involved before they sell out. I know at the time of recording, over a third of the tickets are already away, so you'll need to be quick. Just go to footballprizes.co.uk, scroll down, you'll find the Celtic competition and amongst all the other fantastic prizes that are on offer there. But yep, good luck to everybody that enters, and we'll get on with the show. Cheers. Welcome to another episode of Four Tims and a Podcast. You join us Monday the 27th of February. It's just over 24 hours since the League Cup final, and as I'm sure you know, we're delighted to say that Celtic lifted the League Cup for the sixth time in seven seasons. They won the game 2-1. It was a double from that man, Kyogo. He got his 24th goal of the season. Well, his 23rd and 24th of the season. It was a goal just before half-time and one just after half-time as well. Led to the Celts lifting another trophy under Ange. Danny, it was I don't think Celtic were at their stellar best, but it was a almost completely dominant performance, and nobody can, I've not even heard anybody argue about the result.
Ah, you're right, it was completely deserved. Deserved one for Celtic on the day. I thought they were good enough to beat Rangers by a few goals, and I completely deserved to win the game. These games are often, you know, tight affairs, as we've seen, but I thought Celtic were, without being at their best, were completely comfortably better than them, and it's almost as if we've got one or maybe two players better than them in every position. Would that be too out there to say that? And really, we were talking at half time in the group chat yesterday, but I thought Celtic's midfield three was below par in the first half. I thought McGregor played well, but I thought Hitati and Moy struggled, and it seemed to be that they were kind of struggling to get to grips with the fact that they don't have as much time on the ball as they do in other games. But when Moy and Hitati did get that space, they punished them and scored. But even at not being their best, they completely dominated their midfield three as well. And it was their midfield three just never turned up in any fucking iteration yet. Whatever version, if it was the one after 60 minutes or the one after the first whistle, Celtic completely dominated their midfield from start to finish. And you know, all this talk about Scouse John and the best on earth, and you winning this league and that league and this cup, you know, took right out of the game by superior footballers, which usually happens. And Celtic were just so good. It was a really good performance, and I thought we'd get better as the game went on. They're always, it's cup finals, these games are tight. The way that Rangers play, they always have 10, 15 minutes, that's all they play in. They play in bursts. Sometimes they get two or three of them in a game. Yesterday they'd won, and it was 15, 20 minutes, you know, 5 minutes before they scored, and 10, 15 minutes after that. We've seen it out, and then the last 15, 20 minutes, I don't think they had a shot at goal. Never mind Joe Hart having a safety, mate. I don't think they had a shot. And the manager shit it. You know, they've been bigging this signing up, whoever this Belgian boy is, they've been bigging him up for the last 2 or 3 weeks after 9 minutes against, I can't even remember who it was against, but in 9 minutes against somebody, and he was the best player in the world. And shit, he's lucky, very, very lucky that Axel Banovic never scored, or he would have made another highlight reel. But at the end, Celtic missed three great chances at the end. So it could have been 5-1. Done. But it was, for me, the spine of the team was really good. Carter Vickers and Starfelt were immense. Johnson was brilliant. He impresses me out more and more every week. Taylor was brilliant. But Starfelt in particular, I thought was really good. Not just defensively. I know he'd had fresh air swipe in the second half. But everything else, he tried a Cruyff turn in the box, which was interesting. Well, he didn't try it. He pulled it off. But him breaking, because Rangers actually pressed us quite well in the first half. Even though we were dominating their midfield, it was very difficult for our players to get any space where we would like to have them have space. And Starfelt completely broke their press 2 or 3 times. And I think it led the last one led to the first goal. But it just, we started getting through them when Starfelt decided. Because I thought, I don't want to criticise Starfelt and Carter Vickers, but I thought in the first half an hour, they were a wee bit hesitant to play that ball into the middle of the park. They were happy just either knocking it against each other or getting it to Hart or getting it out to the fullback. I thought the switch out right, in particular in the first half, was on for Celtic so often and they never used it. But when Starfelt decided to, right, fuck, I'm just going to take one of them on, get by them, see what happens. We opened them up and it led eventually to the goal, and then Starfelt made the interception for the second goal as well. So thought he was brilliant and really deserved the good performance, Starfelt, because he's been playing well ever since he got here. But I thought yesterday was a real statement game for him. And Kyogo, I mean, he's played 2 cup finals for us. He scored 4 goals. There's folk that didn't want him in the team a couple of months ago. And, you know, he scored, was it 24 for the season? He'll probably hit 30 before the season's out. Probably go close to 40 if he keeps up at this rate. But just a brilliant day, and it's always nice to win another trophy. It's always nice to beat them, but especially when they're looking over their shoulder at us and saying that we're coming after their total trophy haul or whatever, to beat them in a final to get even closer is a wee bit sweeter.
Yep, you're right. As you say, it's their 114th trophy overall. We're three between the three clubs. That's us and the two Rangers combined. So well, we're getting there, and hopefully if the trajectory continues that way, it won't be too long before we are forced to be renamed the most successful club in football, I believe it is. But Tony, you were at Hampden, none of us else in the pod were lucky enough to be successful in the ballot. What was it like being there, and what did you make it? It was a real statement victory for Celtic after weeks and weeks of the media and their fans trying to claim that was us back on level pegging, and Beale was the one that was going to topple Ange. It was a real statement to put them back in their place.
I thought it was a really solid performance. For the whole week leading up to it, you had guys like Sakala, who have done nothing in football, just babbling shite about we're the best club, we're the best team, and we would have won the league if Gerrard stayed. And I was thinking, well, you were there last season. He's didn't win the league, so he's saying he's down tools. Is that his approach? So he made his look like a total fanny, missing an open goal as well. Totally jit. Not a great player. He's done well against us, but I think he appears in spells. Michael Beale's done a hell of a lot of talking since he arrived. I think we all say they were in good form, but he'd beat nobody I know. He hadn't beat us. And he made an ass of his team selection. His own fans are criticising him massively. And I was talking to his just before we started recording. They were time-wasting in the first half. Alan McGregor was taking an absurd amount of time to play the ball. And their style of football is get the ball to Tavernier and just whip the ball in for any angle and hope it lands at somebody. It's an awful style of play. It reminded me of the League Cup final we beat them the last time when we were down to 10 men and Tavernier was just firing balls into the box for all angles. It's funny mentioning Tavernier. Obviously, we put out a wee cheeky comment about him on Twitter about how he should be in our Hall of Fame as opposed to theirs. I mean, but that guy is a serial loser. He has watched us win four trebles in a row, a double, and you would like to think at least a double this year as well. And he's one of their legends. It's just, it's mental stuff. But in terms of your team, I thought Starfelt was incredible. I've kind of said sometimes he looks awkward and things like that. I think he maybe one kind of really bad bit of play, but overall I thought he was superb, running in the air. Any time crosses came in, apart from the goal, we dealt with him and Vickers. Thought he was absolutely phenomenal. I was delighted for him because I think he was probably a kind of a part of your team that the Huns thought they would be able to take advantage of, but he was spot on. Greg Taylor was good. He linked up well for the second goal and the first goal as well. He was involved, so it was brilliant for him. Alistair Johnson, I really like. He gets stuck in, and he's a good football player as well. There was one time I think he completely plants Kent, takes the ball and runs out a play. I think he plants Barisic as well and then switches the ball the other side of the pitch. So I could probably go through them all. I didn't think Callum McGregor had a great game. I thought sometimes he lost the ball in kind of really silly areas and they kind of counter-attack, but never came to much. Hitati's a great player. He's just some of his touches and movement and just glides away for players is magic to watch. I thought Moy was pretty solid as well. Again, he played his part in the second goal. I think they're terrified of Jota, I must admit. When Jota was running at them, they didn't seem to want anything to do with him. He was unlucky, he was shot in the first half. Maida, I think he's still running the now. Just incredible work rate. His fitness levels are something I've never seen before. The amount of times he would run for goals in Tavernier in the second half to close Tavernier down was just unreal. I know in the first half I was getting a bit frustrated with him. I'm sure many people were when he was getting into good positions and it was just taking a poor touch and the ball was getting out of play. But I thought his pressing was just phenomenal. And then Kyogo does what he does. He's played in two cup finals for us and scored four goals. It's an incredible return. It's good to see he's now putting the ball into the net against Rangers after his first kind of 18 months without doing it. He's done it three times in the last two games. So delighted for him. And I thought the subs were spot on. I thought Abad had done well when he came on. I don't know why he died, though. It was a bit strange. I thought he was going to clean through. I think he was going away for Davies. But I thought the big changes were Awata and Ol, because after they get their goal back, we kind of lost a bit of rhythm. And I thought Awata and Ol coming on just helped us see the last 15 minutes really easily. I thought we were really comfortable. We were able to keep the ball in there. Their half and they were rushing things and we were getting chances. Haksabanovic could have had a double and Matt Riley should definitely have scored. So in the end, it was a comfortable win. I don't think anybody can complain that we won the cup, and it's just credit to the manager. Our manager's been it's hard to put into words the job Big Ange has done. I think 2 years ago the day we were probably about 25 points behind and now we're 9 clear. We've won 3 trophies in the last kind of 14 months. And it's getting back to what Celtic is all about, which is winning and being relentless winners. And even as much as it's a cup final, you kind of take it in isolation. I thought, how many games is that in a row we've won? How many games have we unbeaten domestically? It must be, I don't know, it must be going, I think, must be close to 25, I don't know. Not been beat since September. Funnily enough, we played the last team to beat us on Sunday at the same ground, but it's just relentless. And it's funny, I've seen on Twitter some fans are just daft clubs saying about you should support your local team and this must get boring. I can assure you, with all my heart, I'll never tire of winning trophies and beating them and the emotion of it. And I mean, the last, once it went 2-1, I felt sick for the next kind of half an hour watching the game. I was terrified because you're that desperate to win, and there's no feeling like it in the world winning a cup. But to beat them in a final, it's always a bit more special, and to see their fans disappearing. I mean, the fans had actually brought a banner about paedophiles in case they get beat. I mean, when you're at that level, where the only thing you can celebrate is child abuse, then you've had it. But no, great for us. And I think that solidifies that we are the best team in Scotland. Be a good distance now. We've still got a lot of work to do for the rest of the season. No, everybody's already talking about the treble, but we need to go to Tynecastle, which might not be a difficult game for Rangers. It can be quite a tough one for us. So I'd like to think we can go there, and if we win that, we'll be in a great position. But I think for Ange, you just know that he'll have them back in the morning and just be saying, look, you've had your party. It's time to knuckle down and go to St Mirren and go full pelt with them and just keep going. It's freaking became a kind of oversaid or overstated, but the we never stop mantra isn't it just a slogan, it is an absolute mentality that is driven into everybody at the club, and it's a great mentality to have. And they're a very likeable bunch of players as well. There's a good mix. Kind of Kyogo just seems to be this dead fun wee guy, loves leading the celebrations at the end, but there's a bit of dig about them as well, which is important, especially in cup finals and games with Rangers. I must admit as well, I think Dan agrees with me on this. I don't know if many people listen to him. I actually thought Nick Walsh had a good game. Not something I expected to see. I thought he was actually quite fair. A few times, obviously, I probably shouted things I shouldn't have shouted at him, but I thought he was good. I genuinely did. I thought it was fine. And it was funny. I'm sure a lot of people listening when we were lifting the trophy, it was just one Rangers fan still there. I don't know if it was a scarf above his head, or he had a flag, and it was I just started his cell watching us, and I thought, fucking, what are you doing, mate? So I don't know what that was all about. But I could just go on and on for forever, but just delighted. I had a fantastic day out. I was saying earlier on, I've attended 11 finals in my life, and Celtic have won 11 of them. And I know my luck's due to run out, but I was just thinking to myself yesterday, just don't let it be this one, because I couldn't have faced losing it to that bastard Beale. But no, delighted to second them, and let's kick on and be St Mirren on Sunday.
Aye, definitely. I thought it was just an absolutely fantastic day. Like, I think it was nearly, like, at the start of the week, I was a wee bit nervous, but I think, I should say, I can't stand Beale and I can't stand them, and the more they spoke, the less I was worried, because I just thought there's just no way that we can lose to this mob. And like right enough, last season we had players like Jack and Marcus and that who would come out and say we're going to win things and that when we hadn't yet, but they backed it up. And like, the fact that their players were out and claiming they're the better club, and as you say, they said they would have won the league, and I'm not bothered by stuff like the other mob and that, but when you come out with that bravado, you've got to go out and back up, and Sakala certainly didn't, he? And he'll be reliving that miss, I'm sure, the day. But I just thought the second Celtic kicked off, I thought we looked in control. Me and you and Danny were speaking off earlier. It's just so often in these games, it's the opening stages, you can sort of tell what's going to happen and how the game's going to go, and it's not always the case, but like, Celtic just looked extremely confident. And despite the fact that I agree with Danny, I thought the midfield was a wee bit lacking in the first half. I thought Moy especially, I was sort of at half-time ready to take Moy off. I know he was involved in the first goal, by laying it off to Taylor, but I thought he was just a wee bit off the pace and get caught in that a few times. But I thought the defence played really well. Like, every one of them, like Alistair Johnson especially, but he gets a shout out from me. I know it's his second experience at a derby, but I just thought he's just so consistent. He doesn't seem to have any sort of real flaws in his game. I know some people don't think he's as good going forward as perhaps a previous right back, but I think he's doing everything right there now, and he's getting any good positions. He's improving every game for me. Carter Vickers sometimes gets overlooked because of how well he plays every week. He's a 8 or 9 out of 10 every week almost, and I think that sort of gets that people just get used to the level of performance. And again, like at 0-0, the best chance of the game before we scored was probably the one that Sakala put across, because if Carter Vickers isn't there to clear it, then Tillman's at the back post ready to tap it into an empty net. And like it's wee moments like that that you that's why it was so important that we did retain guys like Carter Vickers last season, because he just looks a class above. And Carroll Starfelt, again, I've been a massive fan of him for pretty much since he came in. I think he took a lot of unfair stick, including in the League Cup final last season against Hibs. I think guys like Michael Stewart and that sort of had it in for him, and so it was sort of every mistake he made was overemphasised. But I thought yesterday, apart from one wee hiccup, I thought he was outstanding. He just, I can't remember the last time I seen him got for a header, no one it. He's just so good in the air, and he's getting better. I know he does look a bit clumsy at times on the ball, but he's getting much better. And I think people forget that he's playing on the left-hand side of the defence, which isn't his sort of strong side. So I think it's every credit to him how well he's been playing again this season. I think he's yet again quietly going along, having a fantastic season for Celtic. And Taylor again obviously sets up the first goal. It's just what you get from him. You're constantly expecting it. As I know me and Danny have been sort of longer term fans of Taylor, but he's just he just is what Ange Ball is for this team. He's just completely revitalised and now an absolute linchpin of this team. And I thought, I agree with you. I don't think Walsh did much today, and I know he threw a few yellow cards out late on, but I thought he got the majority of things right. I thought it was a wee bit of harsh putting Thoreau, but it was good to see Owen in the second half sort of putting himself up. But he seems to have replaced Jack and Marcus, where he's going to be that striker for us, who referees just seem to give fouls against, because he's just a big physical unit. And Tomoki Iwata, I thought it was first of all, it was a really big call with Ange, because he often speaks about how the bench is as important as the players at start, and I think that was sort of emphasised when he took off probably the two best players on the day in terms of Rio Hatate and Kyogo, who I think Hatate, the more the game went on, just sort of was running it as he has been the last few weeks, and Kyogo obviously gets the two goals that put us in the winning position. But for Ange to have the confidence in his bench that he's not got any hassle like swapping the key players. Like I remember last season, it seemed to always be, like, especially the first half of last season, it seemed to be about the 65th, 70th minute, he would always sub Abada, Jota and Kyogo. And last season, no offence to him, but you're bringing on guys like Johnston, Mikey Johnston and Forrest and Albin Ayeti, and I think it just shows how far the squad's came, that you're now bringing on players that are not only not weakening the team, they're often improving the team. And I thought Iwata, for him to get flung in there, he's only had a few appearances so far, I thought he looked really good. He was, I know he had a loose pass straight away, but apart from that, he just seemed to really be in about everywhere. And I think we'll see more of him as the season goes on, just because he seems like he might be one of the ones that once he gets in the team, he's going to be hard to get out of it. And even Abada, I know people will be disappointed with his dive, because I don't, he seemed to be in if he didn't dive, so it was obviously disappointing. But I thought he was everywhere, especially defensively as well. I thought he really gave Alistair Johnson a hand for the last 20 minutes in terms of when they were trying to get down the sides to fling crosses in, as you said, like that's how they generally get their success, is floating balls in the box and hopefully the best. But I thought Abada really helped nullify that. And obviously Hag Sabanovic comes on and has a few great chances, the second one especially, he should really finish, but he didn't. And I know when he scored, they probably did have 10 minutes while he had made it a ball, but I barely remember Joe Hart having a save to make. I think they had two shots on target, and obviously one of them's a goal, but apart from that, Hart didn't have much to do. And it's just testament to us, because they looked really like they couldn't get out the rain half in injury time, and we seemed to keep the ball, and we definitely should have won 3-1, if not 4-1 or 5-1. It really could have been more, but the main thing is we won. I think it's a massive statement. I think it's a wee bit of vengeance for last season as well, because I think Ange would have been really upset at how we went out the Scottish Cup last season. So again, as we spoke about, this time it was our fitness levels that really prevailed and our strength of bench that got us through, and I know there wasn't the extra time, but it really was the extra legs, I thought, that done the damage for us, and I think it's a massive credit to him. And I know Tony was named pressed with Callum McGregor, Danny, but what did you make him? I seen a great start through John McGinley for 6-7 Hail Hail this morning, and that's now 15 cup finals that Callum McGregor's played for Celtic at senior and youth level, and he's won every one of them. He's been the perfect replacement for a Celtic captain when Scott Brown left.
Aye, indeed, and Tony's been to every one of them, I think, as well, so he's got that to go for him. But I thought McGregor was great yesterday. I thought in the first half he was the only midfielder that was going in and running the ball. As much as I thought we dominated the midfield, we did, because we kept the ball afterwards, and it was always us that were looking to go forward. To be fair to them, they pressed our midfield really well, and Moyne had that really good, and I know they can take the ball out wide, they, you know, both of them drift out wide and get the ball, and they're that good that they can create stuff anywhere. Like, I know that, but we want them getting the ball 10-15 yards outside the box, central position, like both goals when Moy get the ball. That's what we want, Moy to get the ball. And first off, McGregor was having to go deep. But again, I thought Starfelt and Carter Vickers were hesitant to play the ball into them. And I thought it was kind of stunting us a wee bit, but you know, we can always keep, you know, kind of safe possession and build a game. But I thought McGregor was great. I thought the last 20 minutes he was a real leader on the park. He was everywhere. Kept the ball really well as well. And Iwata, I must admit, when he came on and volleyed the ball at the park straight away, I initially thought Yusuf Malumbu against Leipzig all the years ago when he came on and looked like a man down. I thought, oh no. But I thought he was great for the last 15 minutes. And it's funny, I've only really heard talk about one sub that came on yesterday that folk were saying made an impact in the game, but I thought that would have been a batter in the midfield for us. But no, McGregor was fine, and Tony's right, and I know you touched on it, Dan. Their whole game plan yesterday was just put the ball at the park and hope that they win the second ball, hope they win the flick on. And I thought the first half, the amount that breaks a ball that they got in the first half was unbelievable. Like, we were getting in and winning it, and it was deflecting away to them. And luckily for us on the day, they weren't good enough to punishes for it, but just the amount of times they were getting wee deflections, even that one at the end with Kolak and Barisic. I mean, Kolak, the boys came at him, but Barisic should be fine for that. You would want, you know, he's got to be ready, he's got to be expecting that, but he had about 5 seconds to react and the ball goes under him. We get away with that, but their plan, just play the ball up to Morelos. He'll, even if he doesn't win it, hopefully get a second ball and hopefully they can turn us or whatever, but they just, it was too easy for us. You know, the full-back four, Johnson was great, Taylor was great, but the two boys in the middle, just throw up to them and they'll win it. And don't get me wrong, I don't think Walsh had a bad game. He missed a Sakala elbow on Kyogo at a corner, and then he played on and they got another corner, and I thought they were going to score for this. The old booting was a bit suspect. Ben Davis completely shit himself. When all came on, which was pleasing to see. And the other one, when Carter Vickers went through the ball and won a great header up against Morelos, he gave a free kick. There was a few decisions in the first half that were strange, but he didn't get anything horribly wrong, I don't think. But, you know, even Tony, you would have been at a game, so I don't know if you're aware of this, but VAR added on like an extra 2 minutes. Which, the first time I ever heard of that, I thought it was fucking bizarre, but just as you think they're not doing enough to help them. But aye, they said on the telly that VAR's decided over our 2 minutes, because basically extra time never started until the 92nd minute or something. But I thought McGregor was good. It was great to see him lift an our trophy. That's him won three as captain. He's won fucking, is it 18 as a player? Three as captain. Sure, I mean, he would be in another team's Hall of Fame already, but for us, he's probably going into yours pretty soon. And the talk will be where he wants his statue, I'm sure, if he can win the treble this year. But no, it was a great day, and I really do like McGregor. You know, I'm a big fan of Conor McGregor, and to see him winning as Celtic captain is really pleasing, because after the COVID season, there was a lot of folk that didn't think it would work with McGregor. He's been a captain. They didn't think he was a man, and we had to sign a new captain. And then when a new manager came in, it was, you know, him and McGregor are going to mix. But McGregor's been, you know, we can talk about players that have been great for Celtic under Ange, but McGregor's been right up with them all. And I thought again yesterday was no different.
Aye, definitely. And as you say, after the COVID season, I think, obviously everybody knows the story with Callum McGregor. He came through the Celtic Academy, he was a ball boy, he then obviously a massive part of the 9-in-a-row team, the quadruple treble. But I think, see, with the disaster of the 10-in-a-row season, like, the fact is it would have been pretty easy for Callum McGregor to say, you know what, I've achieved a lot here, and I've won every trophy and on multiple occasions. It would have been pretty easy for Callum to just sort of say, you know what, I've got a few good years left in me, I'm going to go down to Leicester or wherever, or some, I think he would have got a move to any league they wanted. I think he's that good, and any decent coach would see that. And I think he obviously had a few good performances for Scotland in the Euros just before when Ange was announced. So I think it was a real leap of faith for him as well, because I think, as I say, he still had a few fantastic years of football left, as we've seen. And for him to just meet the manager, decide that, you know what, I'm going to sign a new contract and I'll be your captain and I'll lead this team. You can talk about your Kyogos and your Jota and your Carter Vickers and your Joe Harts and whoever, but the most important thing that Ange made was getting Callum McGregor to stay and be his captain for this new team. And as you say, this is like the new stage of his Celtic journey. It's like he's been there for so long, and massive part of the 9-in-a-row team, as I said, but this is his Celtic team that he's captain, and now, and as you say, it's his third trophy. He is captain as well, and I'm sure there'll be many, many to come. But I think it's really fantastic to see, because you often hear about Celtic players who that come through academy, and you believe they're as big as fans as you and everybody else that's sitting in the crowd. But and like, you don't expect every player to stay at Celtic. I'm not having a go at anybody, but it really is refreshing in this modern day to see a player like Callum really stay there and live the dream for everybody in the crowd. So aye, massive props to him. But Tony, that's now three out of the first four trophies that Ange's went for that he's won for Celtic. Now we're hoping there'll be at least one more coming this season. There's been a lot of talk linking him with lower half English Premier League teams, but I think yesterday absolutely was loving life, and I don't think anybody would be too worried about him jumping ship at the moment. But I know you're going for dinner with him later in the week. Are you going to take a 5-year contract with you just to get him to sign it when you're asking for an autograph?
Well, unfortunately, it's not just me and him. It'll be quite a lot of people at the Celtic Foundation annual dinner, which is a great night. They do a lot of great work. The foundation, absolute credit to the club. Well, I asked him about 10 months ago to sign a 4 or 5 year deal, and he seemed to be enjoying his time at the club. As I said before, I'm just worrying. I think he's a very good manager, and I think he's a very ambitious guy. And my fear is this league, I mean, it's shite, it's full of shite, full of stupid pitches, stupid referees, and they can't even run VAR, and I don't know, I feel as though we're kind of limited in terms of when we get to Europe, but I hope, sorry if you're in there, rough night, yeah. I'm sure many people are the same, I just worry that he might fancy leaving in the summer. But when you seen him yesterday, he was going absolutely bananas. I mean, I think if he was to stay for another 3 or 4 years, he could easily become a major legend in the club history. I was going to say he would automatically become one if he won a treble, but that means I'd need to say Lennon's a legend as well. So winning a treble doesn't automatically make you a legend. But I think he's done such a great job for the club, and it works. Just his style of management, but he obviously he's quite distant. I don't think he's best friends with anybody, but I think he's obviously involved with the players to a degree. And then McGregor seems to run Lennox Town, which is obviously working. I think the players have got a lot of time and respect for Callum. So I would love him to sign a 5-year deal. Obviously, we know with Rodgers, I didn't actually go for much because he left 2 years into it. But I don't think Ange would do as the way Rodgers done. And I know there was a lot going on with Rodgers on the board, but I don't think Ange would just up sticks and fucking leave during the season. I'd like to think he wouldn't. But you would, I mean, what age is he? 58. You would think he's probably looking at the Premier League at some point. I'm sure he would love to get in there and see how it goes. But it's strange that he's not signed a new deal, because I would assume the club must offer them something long term. There would be no reason for them not to. But you think if he knocked it back, it would get out there or something like that. So I don't know. I just love the guy. Absolutely love him a bit. I just think he's been great. I've loved when we've been in his press conferences. I've loved. I got a picture with him after we beat Rangers 4-0. I got a picture with him that was bloody at the end of last season, which was devastating. But my next one was good, and then he signed a top to me that said we never stop on it. So he's been good whenever we've spoke to him. I just think he's been a great manager for us, and he says all the right things, but it's not as if he's just saying it to blow smoke up the fans' arse. He genuinely believes it, and he's kind of football journey. He's been such a mental one, and then he just landed here. And I remember when we got invited to meet him, and obviously the kind of fan media press conference, and I thought, no fucking clue who this guy is. I know nothing about him. And then by the end of it, I just thought, something about this guy I like. then he lost all the games at the start of the season. But he still could see what he was doing, because in between that, we put in some kind of 6-0 doons to St Mirren and Dundee, I think. He thought, I quite like the look of what he's doing here. So I hope he's here for a long, long time, really. I really do. I would love him to sign a new long-term deal. If we were to announce that in the next couple of days after a cup final win, I think the whole club would be absolutely bouncing into the St Mirren game. I think he'd leave in the summer. I'm not so sure. I think you'd like to think he wants one more crack at the Champions League with us. And why not? You'd think we're going to get there if we win the league. So, you know, there's a part of me that thinks you'd love to see us in the Europa League, because the Champions League, the gulf's just too big. It's just far too big. But if you could get Champions League and then get that third spot and have a run at the Europa League, I think that would be maybe a big opportunity for Ange to really do something in Europe. Champions League, you could maybe get into the last 16 if you've got a favourable group, but if you do, and then you draw somebody like Madrid or Napoli or fucking Man City, you're on the plum. So I think he's got a good Europa League. I think he's got a third place Champions League finish in him, and then a Europa League run. I just went off on a total fucking tangent there. I don't know what you asked me, but I just love Ange Postecoglou with all my heart, and I hope he's here forever.
No, I completely agree. I think the two main things I would agree. I think that I'm pretty sure that he will want another shot of the Champions League. I don't think he's in the sort of Rodgers situation anyway. Well, I think it was clear Rodgers wasn't getting the backing that he wanted, but as everybody can see, it probably helps that he's doing it on a bit of a budget. But I think that Ange just sort of get carte blanche to do what he wants, and he's got sort of free rein with transfers that looks but it looks it, and it's all working well. So I don't think there's any reason for that, unless somebody like a mad top level English team or any other team in one of the top leagues came in for him, I think it would be. And the second thing, I don't think he would leave midway through a season. I know there was rumours last week that one of the English clubs, he'd sort of, I think it was some Australian who says that he was going to go if they stayed up, and as much as I don't believe it, I think if he was to go, I think you wouldn't get the Leicester situation where Rodgers left during a busy period for us to go with him when he had pretty much nothing to play for. But I think if Ange was to go, he would sort of do it in the summer and give the club time to find a suitable replacement. But no, I hope he's there forever as well, and hopefully we do get some good news, and that would really top off a fantastic week. But Danny, as Tony said, next up is St Mirren. It's going to be a bit of a come down from the cup final, always is, and I think it was you that says to me, after we won the League Cup last season, we then went to St Mirren and dropped points just after it. So do you expect something like that? Do you think there's a chance that anything like that could happen? Obviously, we gave St Mirren a few doings at Celtic Park just a few weeks ago, but as everybody knows, they're the only team that's beat us in the league so far this season.
Aye, and their Sleekit manager will be going for a second. He'll be trying to do a double hours this season, but I realised that this morning on the way home when I was going back to my flat that last year we beat Hibs and Andrew and not Nietzsche St Mirren, and I believe your response was that was when you could see the title. But this year's a wee bit different. I think we'll be fine. So I think I'd want to put it right. But I think, and I could be totally wrong, I think St Mirren's the only stadium he's not won at yet. Celtic manager. I do believe that to be true. So he'll be looking to complete the set, as it was said during the week so well. But it's another game closer to the league. 3 points is a must. Because we've got a really nice gap in the league, right? And if yesterday would have went a different way, we'd be on here now saying, you know, we need to keep winning because you can't give them a sniff. Even though we won the League Cup, we still can't give them a sniff. And we've been really, really good in the league, bar that one bad day at St Mirren, we did a really poor game. And there's been some games where we've not been great this season and we've got the 3 points. But we've won every game apart from two this season, so we've been remarkably consistent. And they, you know, I couldn't believe there's a lot of talk about how good they've been under Beale so far. And you think, but all they've done is fall further behind us because they've not caught any points on us and they've lost even more goals on us. So for that to be the case, we must be pretty good. So I'm expecting us to just kick on now. We've got a cup in the bag. You know, we've got a really tough game against Hearts in a couple of weeks in the Scottish Cup quarter final. But no reason for us not to just play now. I think they can play with a bit of freedom now. They've won. That's a massive thing. The League Cup proved to be a big catalyst last year for them to go on and win the league. I think it'll be the same this year, although the league's pretty much there for the taking for us anyway. But they can play with a bit of freedom now. Winning the cup finals against them are massive. And the highs of that are huge, and it's such a big thing, you know, League Cup, Scottish Cup, whatever. To beat them in a cup final was a massive deal, especially when they back it up so much, and you know, the Everton's, you know, how good they are and all that, and we just come and turn up day by day, as you say, darling, we did our talking on the pitch. So Sunday, hopefully the players get a good, as Tony said, Ange said it after the game, you give them 24 hours, I have to enjoy it, and then they're back to business. And you just expect that for them, though. You just expect it. And they'll be rolling again. They've got, you know, the one big wrong this season in the league is St Mirren, so hopefully they can put it right on Sunday. And I've got any, don't get me wrong, there's every chance that it doesn't go away, because, you know, you can never, you know, you're not guaranteed to win every game, but I would like to think that Ange will put it right come Sunday.
I think you're right. I think it's, as you say, the players would have enjoyed last night. I've seen a few of them were out in the tune, and they're quite right to enjoy themselves. They deserve it after yesterday. But a bit like yesterday was a bit of revenge. I think they won't admit it publicly, but I think Sunday will be a chance for a bit of revenge as well. Because, as you say, we also played there once last season, but we drew in December and that season. So it's as a, as a place that this team's went a few times recently and hasn't won, so you've got to expect that. I, as you've came to expect every week with Celtic, that they'll turn up and they'll do a job. And look, September was awful. It was by far our worst performance in a long time under Ange that day, but it was, the team's come so far. Tony mentioned it earlier. There's no sense. That's, I think that was the match week 8 or something. So easily must be about 20 games unbeaten, if no more. It probably is more. I'm just not able to count offhand, but it's a great opportunity for us to go there. And look, I know we're playing second again, but they now know that the League Cup's gone for them and the league's all but gone. So I know they're at home at Kilmarnock on Saturday, but any chance that they drop in now, they know there's every chance we'll capitalise on it. And that's what I'd expect us today if the opportunity arose. But I'm pretty sure that we will win on Sunday. I think the two games, I don't think they're in the worst opponents to come to Celtic Park. I think they're a big physical team, and that's just the type of game we're going to get on Sunday as well. But we showed in January that we've got more than enough to handle them, although that was obviously at Celtic Park. But I think that we will put that game in September to rights and hopefully win by a good few goals. But Tony, what are you expecting from it? As Danny said, it's the only venue in Scotland that Ange hasn't won it yet.
Aye, well, you would have thought that would have been the one place he hasn't won. But to be fair, the last time they'd done a number on us totally when they beat us 2-0. Since then, we've beat them 5-1 and 4-0. So I think it's a case if we turn up and play to our best, we win the game. It's pretty simple. The boys have got a good break. It's not until Sunday, I don't think. So they've got 6 days off to obviously enjoy the massive triumph yesterday and then just get right back to it. For me, I wouldn't be making any changes. I don't think there's any midweek games apart from, I guess, Hearts next week, but after that there shouldn't be many. So I can't see him resting anybody. I think he should just go full pelt. He made a few changes the last time at St Mirren and it didn't really work out for us. So I'd probably start the team that started the cup final, and if we can get a good lead, then that's when you've got an opportunity to kind of give Haksabanovic, Abada, etc., a chance to come on and get game time and hopefully contribute. Because that's the thing, your subs are always involved. I mean, Haksabanovic could have had a double, Riley could have scored, and they were only on the pitch for maybe 25-30 minutes. So, it's hard to see anybody troubling you. I know you can have an off day, but they just don't look like they want to have an off day. So we're getting closer to hopefully becoming the champions again. I can't really see Rangers beating Kilmarnock. Kilmarnock are absolutely horrendous. But you'd like to think they go there and just stink the place out and try and get an 0-0, and then the pressure would really be on them. So that's the hope. But I think it'll be a case of the gap will be cut to 6 and we'll need to do the job on Sunday, and I've got every faith in this team that they can get the job done. I think as much as Ange probably won't ever say it, there probably is a wee bit of wanting to put the record straight. I'm sure he would love to have that kind of accomplishment where he's won at every ground in Scotland within a kind of short period of time.
I'll just take your prediction now as well, Tony, before we wrap up.
3-0 Celtic, I'll go for a Kyogo hat-trick, why not?
I would definitely take that. Danny, what about you? I'll take your prediction. Is there any changes you'd make to the starting lineup?
Just to be different. I don't think he'll make too many changes. I think O'Reilly might come in for Moy, because Moy struggled there the last time, but that was before he got a run in the team and we could see what he was all about. But I think he might just freshen up the midfield a wee bit. And I think O might start, but I was actually going to say I think it'll be 3-0 with a Kyogo hat-trick. But to be different, I'll say 3-1 Celtic and all get 2 and Haksabanovic will get the other one.
I'd certainly take that as well. You mentioned Haksabanovic, I think he might be one that comes in on Sunday. I know he's impressed when he's come off the bench in the last two games against Aberdeen and then Rangers yesterday. I think he might come in for, I don't know who, but like, it really matters. We've just got a lot of quality out wide, so I think whoever he comes in for, you're going to have to utilise from the bench as well. But I don't think there'll be too many changes. I would be surprised if there's any massive change. As you say, Moy for O'Reilly might be one as well. But whatever team we put out, I think Ange won't make too many changes because I think it's the focus is the league's your bread and butter, and we just keep going until we get the league secured. We chalk every game off now. We're getting, I wouldn't say it's in sight yet, but it's getting there. We're not too far away from being able to work out how many games it's going to take. But I think we will put the record straight as well. I think Celtic will win the game 4-0, and I think that Keogh will get on the score sheet again, along with Haksabanovic, and I'll go for Kyogo hat-trick and Haksabanovic as well. I just can't see anything else. Kyogo, as one of you says, I think he's very, I'd be almost certain that injury permitting he'll hit 30, and if not, he'll probably get closer to 40 as well. But that'll be us for this week. We will come back next week and discuss that just spoken about St Mirren game, hopefully discussing another Celtic win and anything else that's been happening in Celtic. We'll have a video out on YouTube later this week with Sean and Kieran. They'll have something out later this week, so keep an eye out for that. Just search for Full Tims on YouTube and you'll find that. They've been getting some good content out recently, and so definitely something to keep you occupied as the week goes on. But if you've made it this far, thank you very much for listening, and we hope you enjoyed as much as you enjoyed Celtic's League Cup win yesterday. Cheers. Hail, hail.
Onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out for a chance to win the French Open title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV, live in HD. Don't miss a moment with daily live coverage and match replays on demand, beginning Monday, May 20th. Be there for all the unforgettable moments. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.